This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the IDN Implementation Guideline Working Group call on the 1st of March 2018. In the call, we have Matt, Dennis, Carl, and Pitinan. Over to you, Matt.
Thank you. Carl, have you been discussing this the feedback? I don't remember. It was you haven't been joining the group for some meetings.
Hello, Matt. Yes, I was on vacation, so
I don't blame you. I just I don't remember if you were with us when we started the discussion on the comments.
Oh, I was.
Yes, okay. So, I cannot scroll. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So, I think we have gone through, okay, no, we have some informal comments at the end that we haven't gone through. So let's look at those. But those should not be part of the formal answer, as far as I understand, because they are not formally recorded. So I don't know how we should answer those. Do you have any opinion, Dennis and Carl?
This is Dennis, Matt.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether we have an obligation to respond to these questions in the report, but in light of the ICANN board session that is being scheduled during ICANN Puerto Rico, I would anticipate that they will be looking for answers at least for these questions, and of course they will have more perhaps. So I think we have to provide some information to these points so that we can arm SARMAT to present this to the ICANN board.
Yeah. SARMAT, please.
So just to share that, yes, I think most of these comments and questions were shared by Board IDN Working Group for the consideration of the IDN Guidelines Working Group, I guess. They're not really expecting a response back from IDN Guidelines Working Group. So they were just, in a way, submitted to the IDN Guidelines Working Group to, you know, review and consider further. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, I definitely think we should process them. No question of that. So it's more a question of how we should respond. And what you say, Samad, is that you don't expect any formal response on that. So, maybe we should or shouldn't. Maybe there is no one that has taken note of those questions anyway. So, I don't know how we got those feedbacks. They were just orally, or how was it?
These were, sorry, for
the feedback from the EIWG, the Board IDN Working Group. How was that? How were those feedbacks sent to us.
Right. So I am actually, I am the staff support for that particular working group. This was discussion. This discussion was then, I guess, documented on behalf of Board IDN Working Group, and I was, I guess, asked or tasked to pass it on to IDN Guidelines Working Group, which I did, I guess.
So does that mean that they have the comments documented in a protocol or something?
Basically, this discussion was minuted in their minute in their meeting minutes, I guess, that they do have a formal record in that sense, because they actually had a complete whole meeting on this, where they reviewed it before obviously going to the which is happening at IDN 61. In any case, they had multiple, you know, they had discussions around it, but where they found that it may be useful to pass some of that discussion back to back to IDN Guidelines Working Group, they actually asked me to pass that on to this group. Thank you.
So then we could actually answer and refer to that to those minutes. So,
if you want to answer them, that's fine. I can pass these answers back to BIWG. That's not a problem. You could just answer to these this particular document. This is the document which is actually capturing that.
So, last time we actually started looking at their comments on Guideline 7. What they say is that it doesn't work with collaboration. So they think that, I feel that they mean that it's meaningless to have that in the guidelines. So how should we react to that? Someone, please.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm just going to revise the discussion we had last time. Discussed and said was that I will reach out to URID. I will invite them to the face-to-face meeting of IDN Guidelines Working Group at ICANN 61 and see if they can attend and maybe have a discussion with IDN Guidelines Working Group members there see, you know, what are the possibilities going forward. So that could be a start of the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. But the question is if Guideline 7 really has any function or meaning within the guidelines. Because the other ones, they kind of say how you should set up and design, etc., your IDM solution. This is something else. It says that you should go out and collaborate with others. Does that really make sense within the guidelines, or should we move it out? Carl?
I think we did actually cover this in some depth when we originally spoke about this some weeks ago. But going back to that discussion, if my recollection is correct, what we concluded was that the expectation that you would be constantly collaborating is misunderstanding the advice in the first place. The collaboration is opportunistic and whenever it's appropriate. So there's no need to have established or constant collaboration if a particular language is well served and stable, and there's no need, there's no changes that require discussion amongst operators. So I think the perception of the success or the activity that might be driven by Guideline 7 might be based on a misunderstanding of what's expected. As to whether we would actually keep Guideline 7 in the guidelines at all, I think the only harm if we remove it is that we have guidelines which don't provide necessarily complete advice on how to manage an IDN TLD well, because it would seem like good advice to ask operators to collaborate. So if we aren't saying it, who will say it?
Yeah. A response to that, I mean, Guideline 7 does not talk about ad hoc groups or ad hoc discussions, because it says forming a consortium and establishing global fora. So it talks about more constant or established groups than just ad hoc for specific topics and needs.
Yeah, if I could onto that, I don't think there's a difference between ad hoc and maybe a quiet period that you might have. I think you can still have collaboration without having monthly meetings, for example. We haven't been clear, and I think it's appropriate that we leave it open to people without being too prescriptive on how you would collaborate. I think it's just best to let each community collaborate as they find easiest. So without like specifying a particular cadence, there's always going to be one person's interpretation of regularity might be different to another's desires, but ultimately it's a collaborative effort as appropriate for that community. And some languages it just might not be required to have that much collaboration ongoing.
Samantha, please.
Thank you. So if you look at the response to URID 2 comment, I think it summarizes what Carl is also saying, the discussion we've had on this guideline. So what we have is a response to URID which says that this guideline is intended to suggest that the community is to collaborate on need basis. The WG suggests so I think that basically captures it. I just need to fix that. But in any case, I guess our idea was that this is not a standing forum. That's what we discussed. However, if you think this should be made more explicit in the wording, we could do that as well. So make it even more clearer. Otherwise, we can obviously go with the current recommendation. Thank you.
My thought here is rather that maybe this recommendation makes no sense in the guidelines, and maybe it just takes the focus from other more important things. Maybe if we keep it, it shouldn't talk about consortium, etc., rather that have a shorter statement that encourage collaboration. Of just the first part, are encouraged to collaborate on issues of shared interest, period. Carl?
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and to my earlier point, if we feel that each guideline that appears in this document needs to have some kind of clearly measurable metric to assess whether or not one is successful or has met those guidelines, then I would say this guideline should be removed because it is vague and open to interpretation, and it's general advice rather than something we would expect all operators to follow. So if that's going to cause too much confusion and not really benefit anyone, then I support removing it.
Dennis, you say that you agree with Carl. In what sense? You think we should keep it as is, remove it, or cut it down into just the first line? What do you think, Dennis?
Yeah, I agree with Carl on his business statement as to this is not expected to be a ongoing effort, but more on to the point, ad hoc, opportunistic situations.
But he talks about consortium.
Right, yeah, no, I understand.
A consortium is sounds like the opposite of ad hoc group.
Correct.
Or ad hoc collaboration.
Carl has another good point that if there is no really a way to measure success, if you will, of each of these guidelines, right? Especially the ones that are soft, if you will. I mean, they're not really required for registry operators to implement. Should we really have those here in the guidelines? Really, it's not affecting implementation directly, right? It may influence, but there is enough going on right now in the industry, name it, the LGRs, Universal Acceptance Steering Group, and other efforts that registry operators and the extended community are collaborating right now without having a guideline, just the motivation to collaborate and towards a common goal. So perhaps, yeah, I mean, removing it just will be more straightforward than open the question. So, okay, so what's the consortium? Where can I sign up for? And all sort of questions that could stem from this vague guideline.
Right. When I read it, I don't see what we expect this collaboration to aim at. So the guideline or the recommendation doesn't say why do we encourage them to collaborate on issues of shared interest. So what do we see as the output of that collaboration from an IDN sense? Tom?
I think a case can be made for this collaboration in the interest of interoperability and a general acceptance for each language, because the more that operators are consistent amongst each other, not only will one client software be more interoperable between them, but there's more likely, although not guaranteed to be, but there's more likely to be more implementations of software across all of them. So the usability and interoperability and familiarity of users would improve through collaboration. But I think given that we seem to be wanting these guidelines to be quite specific and trying to encompass one guideline that would capture the good management of a community collaboration effort would be, well, that's an entirely different document. So perhaps we leave it out and leave that to the IDN community in general to solve rather than to individual TLD operators. So I think given the confused feedback and the way that the board working group interpreted that and seemed to think that there was a lack of success, it's probably best that we leave these guidelines out and let people solve that in a more general forum rather than something that's specific to IDN operators, individual operators.
I think it could be okay to have like soft recommendations, but the problem I see with this recommendation is that it focuses on how the collaboration should be done. I mean, in consortium and support groups, global fora, instead of what the collaboration should accomplish. And Carl, you gave good examples of what the collaboration could accomplish. If we have the guideline 7, I think it would be make more sense to state what we think that such collaboration could accomplish. Samad, please.
Thank you. So one point to note is that this was drafted. We are inheriting this from previous version, and it's coming even from the one previous to it. So we're at least talking about, you know, the time frame of 2010-11 when this was drafted. And at that time, I guess, since then, there has been, you know, the variant issues project, the LGR project. There's been a lot of actually excitement in the community around IDNs. You know, there's a lot of communities which are activated at this time. And consortium may actually be coming from, for example, the work which was done by the Chinese community, which called themselves CDNC, right? The Chinese Domain Name Consortium. You know, some of this terminology obviously is coming from that context. Going forward, if we have a generic recommendation, it does indicate all the TLDs, CCTLDs and GTLDs to try to work with each other and collaborate. If such a guideline is not there, then at least the way I see it, we are really talking about each of these individual TLDs about their own individual, obligations. There is nothing here which is actually asking them to, you know, reach out and also participate in these larger initiatives which are actually happening more globally. From that perspective, you know, looking at it from a IDN program perspective, for example, at ICANN, it may actually be useful to remind the individual DLD registry operators that there is this, even though it's not like a requirement, but it's still a recommended obligation that they need to come on a joint platform and contribute there as well. I think that makes the IDN work really much more fruitful in that sense. Thank you.
But Soma, do you think that it sounds like you argue for keeping this recommendation as is?
Right. In a general form. In a general form, we can tweak it, but somehow reminding, I guess, TLD registries to have that they do have an obligation to maybe contribute in a more, I guess, global fora is actually probably useful. Thank you.
Yeah, but Samad, I have a question. Do you think, I mean, as it's written now, it talks about how they should collaborate, consortium, etc. Do you think that is what we should have there, or should it be telling them what we think that what could be accomplished through collaboration? Good examples that Carl gave.
I'm okay with, you know, I totally, I think, support your suggestion to make it perhaps more general and obviously something which is expected from a case-to-case basis, not something which is a standing consortium, which we discussed before. But I guess taking it away will have an impact that we may not be able to mind the TLD registries that they, you know, they have at least some level of optional, you know, it's not an obligation, but a recommendation to contribute on this global platform as well. Thank you.
Okay, Dennis and Carl, what do you think? Should we keep it as is? Should we keep it at all? Or should we change the direction of this number 7 to more point at what such a collaboration could accomplish? Carl, please.
I think the fact that we've received comments on this particular guideline probably proves that it's not clear enough in its intent as it currently sits. So I think if we are going to keep it, we'll have to modify it. I think we'll have to make it clear that it's a soft recommendation and one which the operator is to use their own judgment as to the level required or even if it is required. And I guess for anyone that's looking to the success or otherwise of the IDN program, when they look at these guidelines, they should understand that guideline 7 is not something that would be specifically measured against every TLD operator. So if we can achieve that with the text, then I think it's probably a good idea to keep it. I think if we continue to get feedback like we have, then it might also be appropriate to cut our losses and remove it, because ultimately the idea is that these guidelines are accepted and easy to implement, and operators have no confusion as to what their obligations are. And if we have a guideline in there that is confusing and is causing doubt, then we're not meeting our goals, I think. So let's try and change it. That would be my suggestions. We try and reword it so it is clearer. But if we continue to receive feedback, then we might need to.
what direction of update is it to more have why collaboration is wanted?
I think your suggestion is valid, focusing on the goals rather than the methods. And I think we might phrase that advice in a way that is very is suggestive rather than prescriptive or obligatory. So if we can get that phrasing correct, and if we can focus on the goals or the outcomes, then it would probably be clearer for everyone. I think I can take that homework on. If you put that down as an action point for me, I'll try and write something that's a little bit more general and focused on the goals, and hopefully making it clear that it's not necessarily applicable to all languages and all operators.
Carl, you can read the mind over IP? My mind? Because I was just thinking of asking you to do this. So thank you.
Well, I figured that I've been speaking about it so much, I should actually put my effort where my mouth is.
Yeah. And we have this under the headline, consistency of IDN tables and practices. So, I think there's a reason why we put it there. And the ideas that you said, or the examples that you gave, Carl, they fit there. And I see that Dennis second this. So, this is decision. Carl doesn't an update that so that it moves away from how the collaboration is done, rather to what could be the outcome of collaboration. And I have to say that I'm a little bit confused about the Urich comment that they look forward to engaging in possible consortium. So it sounds like they think that there is a consortium being about to be formed that they can join. So, yeah. Okay. So let's scroll down to the board IDN working group.
Oh.
Yes. Come on.
So would you still want me to invite Yuri to the discussion in this context at ICANN 61, or do we think we need to bring them in the room based on the discussion right now?
I think that, I mean, they are interested in collaboration, and I think that it could be interesting to discuss that with them. So, yes.
Okay, thank you.
What, Dennis and Carl? What do you say? Well, I assume they say yes. Okay, so an answer there to the board IDN working group is that we will update that and point out why collaboration is needed, and even though we know that it's been strong in some areas and weak in others, and I think that we also could note that there has been collaboration. I mean, the Chinese collaboration is interesting, and also the result of some of the script communities for the root zone. They have continued working on IDN on the second level. So it's there. So it's not zero. Their comments give the impression that there was has been almost none, but that's not true, I think. And then we have the next comment, which is on guidelines 6 and 10. They inquire about how the IANA repository could be kept consistent with IDN policies published at the registry website. Well, first thing to note is that before LGR is mandatory, the information will probably be inconsistent anyway. But then, I don't know. I can have any power here. What can I can do?
So we're also looking at this. I guess this is also certainly a professional comment. So we're certainly looking at it internally and see how we can address it. But I guess from the perspective of this particular group, the context is that I'm not really sure. I guess this is probably beyond operations. I'm not really sure what further. Maybe the group could review the particular text and see whether this is still appropriate or it could be further refined or changed. Thank you.
So I see your hand, Carl, but I want to ask Saman, does I can have any ideas of checking, comparing?
So that's what we are now looking at, is how to actually develop those mechanisms.
Okay. Yes, Carl.
So I have two comments to make on this. The first is, if this is a matter of two tables that are of the same format that is perhaps out of date, then it might be wiser to simply have one copy of that in the public. So we may wish to change our guidelines to suggest that rather than publishing IDN tables on the registry's website, that registry include a direct link to the IANA page of IDN practices, because if you've only got one version of the table available, then at least it would be consistent. However, I think that there's going to be more problems in the future, and not just because people let a particular table fall out of date. The feedback I've received from several GTLDs is that they have a reluctance to use the 7940 format in general, and to use that to communicate with registrars and registrars, because it's so unwieldy. So what I suspect may happen in the future is that as we make it an obligation to submit tables in that format to IANA, those tables will be effectively one-off tables that will not be representative of the back-end system that generate them. They'll simply be exported in that format to meet obligations. And what will appear on the registry operator's website will be probably a different format that is easier to consume by users. And that's going to make consistency and measuring consistency even more challenging. So this is probably going to be a bigger issue than simply letting a particular version of a table get old because you haven't updated it. So if we were to come up with restrictions that say, or the, a mechanical mechanism to do a comparison, may not solve the problem. I see Simon's got some comments.
Yes, Simon, please.
First of all, I would like to agree that Carl's comment that XML is basically is quite unwieldy as an user is concerned. However, I would also like to add that to address that, at least for the online tool we have made available, and eventually hopefully through IANA as well, because we'd probably be able to use the same tool there eventually. We are also making a HTML format view of the XML, which actually is, I'm not really sure whether you've had a chance to look at that or not, but it actually is based on the XML file, so it's not really a duplicate data, but it gives a very nice view of the, you know, the repertoire, the variant sets, and, you know, a little probably more formal, the WLE rules, but obviously the rules are a bit more complex. But in any case, I think that's a very nice format to look at, and I would actually encourage you to look at that if you've not looked at it so far. So that can, to some extent, somehow address the viewing of the XML. Thank you.
I put myself in the queue. I think that the recommendations actually say that you don't have to put it on your own website. What you only need to put there is things that are not covered by the table in the IANA repository. Put it in the IANA repository, additional information on your website, and okay, if you decide to have it in both platforms, then you should have to make sure that it's consistent. ES 7940 is complex, but that is also true for the text tables. They're not that easy to read if you don't have experience of that, especially like a Chinese table with a lot of variants. But the good thing about the XML format, as Samad says, is that you can display it in different views, and which are actually easier to read than the text table. So if IANA can create a good structure at the repository, it should actually be possible to go in there and open it up and in a nice view through the website of the registry or the registrar. we need to have some tools for that, but I think it's very possible. So I don't agree that the XML format will decrease readability. Dennis, do you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. So I understand the LDR tool that ICANN has developed has a way to express the LDR in HTML output, but that's a feature of the ICANN's tool, but not the RFC. It's not within the RFC specs. So if ratio operators want to implement XML, I mean, so RFC 7940, they may come with their own development, and not necessarily will have an HTML output. So let's try to differentiate what cannot be done within the specs, because otherwise we are kind of suggesting rage reporters use the ICANN tool, and that's the only way you can implement the RFC.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not the only way. Okay, so do we have an answer on the feedback on the consistency? I think that it's kind of out of the scope of the guidelines. So the guidelines say that you should keep them consistent, and I don't think that we could do anything more. They ask for suggestions from us, but I don't know if that is possible.
Yeah, and if I could say something, one more point.
Yes, definitely, Dennis. Go ahead.
Thank you. So it's not clear here, we've been talking about consistency about the contents, but maybe it's also consistency about the items, right? Ayana has a Chinese table, whereas in the Race Reparators website does not have that one, right? So I can see where consistency could work in different ways here. Contents of substance and also the inventory of tables themselves. And I think our guidelines require that tables be published in the Ayana repository, and registry operator have to some extent keep those. If they are publishing in their website, they have to keep consistency, right? And if they are not, to the ICANN, the BOR IDN working group points out, that would be a compliance issue. So we can refer to the compliance team at ICANN to look at how they can address this issue.
Carl?
So one thing I would point out is that, yes, we should certainly try and have people maintain consistent tables. Obviously, someone who's not paying attention and not updating their tables will end up confusing someone at one of those sources. But there is a significant challenge at the moment with publishing IDN tables at IANA. It's something I'm working with the IANA folks on, but it is quite labor-intensive. And to give you an example, a recent submission required something like 53 days to deploy all updates. So
53 days.
If we were to implement any kind of measurement system, well, obviously there would be a discrepancy, but there's no one necessarily to blame for that, and it's not necessarily a compliance issue either. it's the unfortunate nature of the way in which those tables are assessed and then deployed. So not every update requires that length of time. I should emphasise there's another one that took only 14 days, and some take only a day or two. But I would not suggest any kind of mechanical measurement for until it's a lot more streamlined.
Can we require that the registry link to the IANA repository as the authority?
But I think that some registries may wish to provide a complete picture of their TLD, and if there's more than one language available, or if there's other things to consider, such as a special words or a branding that they want to associate with that information, then I think we should let registries do so. Allowing them to link to IANA and suggesting it is probably a good idea, but I'm not sure we would restrict them to that.
So should we then add to number 10 that the registries are encouraged to link to the relevant tables in the IANA repository? So, Carl, you say it's a good change. So, Dennis?
I'm sorry, could you repeat? What would be the change?
To add to recommendation number 10, that the registries are encouraged to link to the relevant IDN tables in the IANA repository.
I mean, sounds nice, but I mean, from a practical standpoint, where would that link go to? Just to the IANA repository, the big database of IDN tables, which is very large, and there's no searchability functions. I don't know what will we, you know.
It should point at the tables, the actual tables, I think.
So we would need to have, so let's say a registry operator has 100 tables, so he has to link each one of their tables to the specific table in the IANA repository. If IANA decides to change their URL structure, those links would be broken at some point.
So this is actually and said to be a feature request on the IANA repository to be more structured and usable before we can have such a linking.
I think that should come first before we can ask registry operators to do something.
Ahmad, please.
Thank you. I was actually just going to add that sometimes the information which is published at the registry is actually embedded, at least from some examples I've seen for CCTLDs. These tables and the variants and this kind of information is embedded in a larger policy and presented actually as a separate table. So I guess when they're publishing from the registry website, they're probably catering to a different, audience in some cases than when they're publishing at IANA. So making them same may actually create some challenge in that sense. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that should be the last word of today because we have reached the top of the hour. The conclusion when it comes to six and the comment from the board IBM working group is that we don't have any suggestion. And I think that the conclusion is that we do not change anything of number 6 and 10. Number 10 could be updated in a future release when IANA has a more structured database and interface to the repository. Any last comments? So thank you very much. Next week, yes, Peter, and please.
Sorry, just a quick request. So the presentation for IBM Guideline Working Group in ICANN 61, we don't have time to discuss during the call, but I will circulate to the mailing list and please finalize it. And please
get some
feedback. Okay. Thank you.
Next Thursday, I will be in Puerto Rico on the DLS ORC meeting. So I will not be available for a meeting. I don't know what if we're planning one for next Thursday or not. I guess people are traveling or about to travel if they're going to Puerto Rico.
Right, and same would be the case for Thursday afterwards, the next one.
Yeah, that would be during the ICANN meeting or the end of the ICANN meeting or something. Kyle, will you come to the ICANN meeting?
No, I will not be traveling to ICANN.
Okay. Okay, do we have any remote participation? Yeah, we will. So I hope that you'll be able to participate remotely. So Dennis, Samad, and Peter, see you in Puerto Rico. And this next time for this meeting will be in 3 weeks. Thank you very much for today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.